Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to One and Messiah on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday morning. And this is One and Messiah, where we teach the plan of salvation through the entirety of Scripture. So hope you're having an awesome Lord's Day. Last week on the program, we did a teaching on Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, in the desert. If you heard that program, and I hope you did, this program is going to follow immediately after that and is going to have some interesting lessons about what actually happens in a synagogue and why Jesus did what he did and why the people that were there that morning got so upset with him that they were ready to throw him off of a cliff. If you've been in Nazareth, you'll know that it sits high up above the plain below it, and there is a very steep drop-off called the precipice. There's a little chapel there now, and if you stand there, you see it's a completely 90-degree drop, and this is where they wanted to throw him off because of the perceived blasphemy that he had done. So we're going to get into that. And first, we're going to read the passage. And the passage is in Luke chapter 4. And we're going to go from verse 16 through verse 21. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to his attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. So, this is immediately after he returns from the wilderness, immediately after the temptation in the wilderness. And I should add, if you did not hear last week's program, you can still hear it on two of my websites. One is oneinmessiah.website. There is a tab called The Word. And if you click on that, you'll find the radio shows. The other is rootsandfoundations.org. There's a tab there called audio teachings. And the radio programs are listed there. But back to this passage. And we're going to take that last, near the end of that passage, we're going to take a line there about why he starts to speak, because he was not the ruler, that he was not the head of the synagogue. In our time, we are used to the head of a synagogue being a rabbi. At this time in history, that was not the case. A rabbi was a teacher. Jesus himself was a rabbi, and rabbis generally had students. And if you've been watching The Chosen, you'll know that he commonly calls the apostles his students. And a rabbi would teach students, and students went to learn from someone, not only spiritual things, but philosophical things, way of life, and also, of course, interpretation of scripture. So the other thing to keep in mind is that in a synagogue, there is an order of readings. So there is a portion of the Torah that is read, which is called a parasha. And over the course of 1 year, the entire Torah is read. And then there is a reading called the Haftorah, which is a reading from the prophets. Now, it generally, whether you go to a traditional synagogue or a messianic synagogue, a messianic synagogue, for those of you that aren't familiar with the term, is a congregation of Jews who believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And they used to be called Hebrew Christians in the old days, and for the last 50 years or so have been called Messianic Jews. But in either case, the leader of the synagogue picks who he wants to do the readings. So generally, someone is picked to do a Torah reading, which is a great honor. Someone is picked to do the Haftorah reading, which is a reading from one of the prophets. In a Messianic synagogue, then there is also a reader that does a New Testament passage. When you are finished with your reading, you are allowed to do a very short commentary, which is usually 1 to 2 minutes, and that is called a drash. So I point that out because we're going to see how that's important in this passage. So probably when Jesus got back to Nazareth, the head of the synagogue, who I would be pretty sure knew him very well, probably asked him if he would like to do the second reading for the following Sabbath. And Jesus agreed. And the reading happened to be Isaiah 61, which, as you know, is a messianic passage in terms of what is Messiah going to do when he is here? How will you know that someone is the Messiah, is the anointed one, which is what Messiah means? And Isaiah points that out in many passages, but in Isaiah 61 is the one we're going to look at today, because this was the reading that week. So we see that it tells us in the passages, just the verses just before this, that he was traveling around in Galilee and he was teaching. He was even teaching at synagogues, and people were amazed by him. People wanted to hear him teach. You know that in the Gospels it says that people were amazed that he taught with authority, but a different kind of authority than the Pharisees had. They, of course, were the religious leaders, and they had authority in that sense. And they taught, and they debated scripture. But this man taught with an authority that they were not familiar with. And, of course, the gospel points out that he came in the power of the Spirit. He wasn't called there by men. He was Messiah. He was the God-man. So he's anointed, of course, with the Holy Spirit. He is one with the Holy Spirit. And he's called into this ministry now that begins after his temptation in the wilderness. So his ministry doesn't start in Jerusalem, doesn't start in the temple, doesn't start at some yeshiva where priests are being trained, rabbis are learning, all the Levites are gathered. You know, he starts in a very remote part of the country. He began to teach in synagogues, not in the temple, not in the religious center, not at the place where the rituals were, where the ceremonial worship was. And as you know, the temple in Jerusalem was the only place where the sacrifices could be done, where the rituals could be done, because as God says in Torah and in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, he said, this is the place where I put my name, and this is where all the sacrifices have to be. And this is why Jesus had to die in Jerusalem. He couldn't have been crucified in Nazareth. He couldn't have been crucified in Capernaum or anywhere else. It had to be in Jerusalem to be an acceptable sacrifice. So he went to these places that were remote, that were not places where leaders were, and not only taught the word, but taught practical applications of the word. And everybody seemed to like it. There was no real opposition to him yet. People realized he was different. Then he comes to Nazareth, and people knew him there. People knew him since he was a little boy. People knew Mary and Joseph. Joseph was dead by this time, but Mary was, of course, still alive. People knew them and, of course, assumed that they were his parents. He's called the son of Joseph. So they were looking forward to him. The word probably got around that he was going to be doing the second reading and was going to be doing the drash. So he went to the synagogue for the Sabbath, and Luke adds, as was his custom. Well, the Sabbath, of course, the observance of the Sabbath is really the most important thing that you do in the law. And when you read through Exodus, get to Exodus 33, I think it is, there's a beautiful Hebrew prayer called Vishamru that says the covenant between me and the children of Israel is the Sabbath. And it basically says you have to keep the Sabbath regardless of anything else that you do. The feast days are important, but the Sabbath is always listed as the first feast day because every week has a feast day within it, which is the Sabbath, the Shabbat. And of course he went on the Sabbath to the synagogue because that was the law, and he could not violate the law, or he could not be the Messiah. He would never think about not going to the synagogue on Shabbat, and he had gone there for 30 years as a private citizen. Now he's going a little differently. He's going in a different context. He's had the baptism in the Jordan, which was also following law. That's why he told John, we have to fulfill all righteousness. And I'm not going to get into that, but it's a study of the mikvah bath. And then he went into the wilderness, and now he's back. So on the Sabbath, you have, of course, a very solemn assembly at the synagogue. Now, the synagogue is not the temple. The synagogue is not a little temple. There is only one temple. There are many synagogues. At this time in history, based on archaeological findings, it looks like there were only 7 synagogues in all of Galilee, which is a pretty big area. There are 7, and 2 were found within a very short distance apart in the current city of Migdal, which was Magdala. And my wife and I got to spend some time at an excavated synagogue at Magdala, at Migdal Junction, with the archaeologists who were actually doing the unearthing and the study of it. And that was quite fascinating, but we don't have time to go in there now. But the synagogue was a place where Jews gathered. There was a teacher. They did the readings. They said prayers. And the synagogues began when the people were in exile in Babylon. There were no synagogues before that. And then when they went back to the land, the custom of having a synagogue continued. So he's going to read the second reading. And as a result, he is allowed to do a short commentary, a drash, that can go on for a couple of minutes, but not more than a couple of minutes. And generally what happens in a drash, and I've done a few of them as well as the expanded teachings, but and I've done some drash in Messianic synagogues. And what you generally do is say what this reading means and how, what it means to me and what impact it has on me personally. So it's 1 to 2 minutes. It's never more than 2 minutes. And then the head of the synagogue, currently a rabbi, then does a teaching on the Torah portion plus the Haftorah portion or both. So it's very similar to a church. If you go to a very liturgical church, there are a cycle of readings. So any Catholic church that you go into on a Sunday morning, every Orthodox church you go to on a Sunday morning, and I think most of the mainline Protestant churches like Lutherans and Presbyterians and Methodists generally have the same cycle of readings. So you know what the readings are going to be beforehand. So this is what this is about. This is mentioned in the book of Acts. Paul even talks about how he does a commentary at a synagogue. But so Jesus is going to do this one. So he reads the Haftorah portion from the scroll of Isaiah. Now our translations talk about book. This was not a book like you have a Bible. There were no books like that, really, until the printing press. But when they say book, that's not a really good translation. They are scrolls that, you know, roll up and roll out. And at this time, and not until, I don't remember when it was, the 800s or 900s, there was no division into chapters and verses. So you had to find the place. And it points us out here. He finds the place where the reading is. Finds the place. So that's actually quite a job when there's no chapters and verses. But he would be standing at a big wooden platform called a bima, and the scrolls are unrolled on the bima. Now, since Isaiah is a major prophet and now has 66 chapters, well, it was the same length then, but didn't have chapters. You unroll the scroll and you unroll one end, roll the other end until you find where you're going to start to read. So interestingly, he opens the book, he unrolls the scroll and finds where the reading is. Now, that's also interesting because Jesus, of course, opens the scriptures to all of us, opens the scriptures to everyone. You remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about if you don't know Christ, you don't know the meaning of the scripture. It's through knowing him that the Holy Spirit tells you, shows you the meaning of the scriptures. So he unrolls all the books for us. All the books testify of him, he says in John 5:39. They're all about him. So the reading was Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 2. Prophetically, it happens to be the reading about the Messiah, the day that the Messiah is coming into the synagogue at Nazareth to read that passage. So that, I always thought that was pretty awesome. Some people would say, coincidence? No, this was directed by the Spirit. And it makes perfect sense because, as we're going to get to in a minute, if I ever get to it, about the drash that he does. So people there were familiar with the prophets and they were familiar with the prophecies because they read, over time you would have heard these same readings. So here he opens up the scripture and the Spirit is upon him, of course. He's the second person of the Trinity. The Father is with him. The Spirit is on him. He's the anointed one. So unlike the prophets that wrote these things, he is qualified for this work because this work is about him. He was anointed and he was sent. This is the plan of salvation. He was anointed and he was sent. And Revelation tells us that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, the plan of salvation was made before the foundation of the world. So Isaiah here tells us the mission, the gospel, the good news. The good news is going to go to the poor, not just the economically poor. It's going to the spiritually poor, to the poor in spirit, those that are looked down at by the religious authorities. Not just poor people looked down by rich people, spiritually poor people. People who knew that they were spiritually poor, knew that they were sinners. The religious authorities didn't know that they were sinners. They thought that they were holy. So this affects their heart. It's not just information. And he proclaims that the gospel is a proclamation of liberty. This is about liberty, like Egypt, like Babylon. This is going to be delivered from the slavery of sin to being an adopted child of the Father. This is why it's good news. Instead of getting condemnation, you get adoption. Instead of bondage, you get adoption, as Paul tells us in Romans 8 and Galatians 4. And bonds of guilt are removed by what Jesus does on the cross. There's a change of kingdoms. The old order of things is not like the old order. The prophets can proclaim liberty, but Jesus delivers the liberty. Sinners are no longer debtors to justice. They can be forgiven. There was reconciliation. So there was healing and liberty and sight. Give sight to the blind so people can see. Like the passage, I was blind, but now I see. They see the truth. So he said, Messiah is going to come. Isaiah tells us Messiah is going to come. He's going to bring good news. He's going to bring liberty to the captives. He's going to deliver us from sin. He's going to reconcile us to the Father. Paul is going to expand on that and say that God is reconciling the world to himself through Christ. And this is why this is so important. This is the only way that the world can be reconciled to the Father. It's the only way that sin can be dealt with. And he says, this is what this passage says. He read the passage, rolled the scroll back up, and sat down. Now, sitting is the teaching position. In general, in ancient days, a teacher sat. And it says all eyes were fixed on him because they knew him. They knew that he was really smart. They knew that he was a righteous, moral, holy man. So they were interested to see what they wanted, to see what he was going to say. The Greek there means they looked at him intently, earnestly, like we all should look at him intently and earnestly. And he does the shortest commentary that anyone could do. And the commentary basically was, this scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. What the prophet Isaiah said is now present here before you in history. The Greek means it's made full this very day because that passage is about him. And like he tells his disciples later, what the prophets wanted to see, you get to see. What the prophets wanted to hear, you got to hear. And not just his disciples, but all the people that were at that in that synagogue. So the ministry was beginning. And now, we're not going to get to the whole reaction about the precipice and so forth, because we'll have to finish that. But first, they were intently waiting to see what this comment was going to be. And then when they heard the comment, they were stunned. because he's saying this applies to me. I am in this passage. Whoa, I know the music is already playing. I can't believe it. This time goes so short, and I'm used to talking a long time. But anyway, thanks for tuning in, and come back next week, and we'll probably go on from there. So have an awesome week.
The previous program was sponsored by One in Messiah.